episode 220 of the Muck Podcast. Listen in as we discuss the dark and sometimes weird true stories in American politics. I'm Tina Jaramillo.
And I'm Hillary Doherty. With no notes. I'm literally like scribbling things down. I'm like, what else can we talk about? Because we're doing a double, When you heard this, when you're hearing this, we recorded this 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
So we are not up to date on news.
Yes.
So we're just going to do rando stuff.
We're going to talk. Well, but there are some important things. So we don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to assume that this
predictions
proposal that our Broward County School Board guy Tori Elston has put forward is not going to pass. But he has put an item on the upcoming school board agenda to rescind teacher pay raises that were approved in February, and that gave everyone a raise, that gave teachers a raise,
3% or something,
and he wants the money back. He's asking that, like, what the money has been paid out, that teachers now have to give the money back and then, like, no raise.
Yeah.
And and I get it. Like, this is, first of all, it's a DeSantis appointee. So, of course, he's going to be championing charter schools over any other school. But the thing that was most outrageous to me with all of this is that there is like a separate union for assistant principals and principals. It's like APPA, like the Assistant Principal Principals Association. They put out a letter that was completely misspelled. It was embarrassing, really, that someone that would have an advanced degree would even write like that. But put a letter out that basically called teachers lazy, that teachers don't do any work after the bell rings.
Wait a minute. Who the fuck put this out?
The local Assistant Principal Principals Association of, like, down here for, like, Broward.
Who the fuck runs that?
So it's like a labor union, but for, like...
Yeah, but my God. Well, that, you know, well, that Tori Elston, that was one of his complaints is, well, these raises, you know, he's throwing shit at the wall, but he's like... Well, these raises didn't include everybody. What about our administrative staff? What about the workers? You know, it didn't. It's only teachers. Well,
And I get it. But so in the letter, it also said that teachers make more money than principals because teachers, they leave at when the bell rings. They have all summer off. They're lazy. And that teachers get to go home and see their kids' sporting events, but administrators and assistant principals and principals, they have to work and they only get like 4 weeks off instead of like the whole summer. Not to mention that principals make, you know, six-figure salaries. Assistant principals, I think in Broward, start at $98,000 a year, something like that. Yeah, they have to go to events and things like that, but, you know.
It's a weird thing to try to pit.
Well, and now you're going to pit the principals against the teachers.
That's the weirdest thing. Y'all are in the same boat.
Yeah.
Why would you ever write a letter like that? That makes no, you're like cutting off your nose to spite your face. Y'all should be working hard together so you're all making what you're supposed to be making, but... Like, you're not supportive of teachers getting raises. That means they're more equipped. They want to come to work and do their job harder so that you look better. Like, I don't understand.
And I'm sorry, but teachers do work outside of the bell-to-bell hours. And in the summer, you know, I know in the summers, I always go back and I do, like, curriculum planning during the summer. I go in and work on that. And so that's, you know, taking my time, my vacation time in the summer, but I go in and I do that. And then, we also do professional development. We're doing planning. Like, there's a lot that teachers do.
Let me say something real quick. First of all,
we get paid less. I saw something recently that we get paid less than, like, you know, people working non-degree jobs, you know, like that people who have master's degree, their starting pay is less than some jobs right out of high school. And we are shit on all of the time. We are blamed for everything. And, you know, they have these outrageous expectations. You have a state that has moved the goalpost on requirements for you know, a state test and has increased like what the passing score should be. So they keep moving the goalpost because they don't want us to succeed, right? Because everything is about moving things to charter schools and privatizing everything. So give me a break. But the fact that this guy would say that we're going to take money out of teachers' hands, like money that teachers already probably spent.
Of course. What do you mean? Of course.
And these are teachers who, you know, like we haven't had proper raises in a long ass time. It's crazy.
It's the craziest shit I've ever fucking heard. Whoever wrote that letter at that union should be fucking fired. And if every principal should be writing a letter, signing it, saying we don't agree with this. Because there's no way you can agree with that. You know what your teachers are doing. But it's not only the expectations of these teachers and everything you all have to deal with. You know, the biggest thing about like summers off, I know Tina is doing that sort of work or in these classes and all the things you do over the summer. But also the stress of going to work and not knowing if you're going to leave there that day. That's like what a police officer feels when they put their life on the fucking line every day. Teachers do the same thing. We don't protect them. If you think dragging them about test scores and student development and reading, you have a gun to their head, literally.
Literally.
So don't fucking talk to me about summers off. These motherfuckers are living in a stress. The stress, not to mention they're trying to take care of your fucking kids. You're the kids that you don't really want to be around all day. Okay? And they're caring for them and the teachers that look out for these kids. Tina, the way Tina talks about her students, the love that she has for these kids and how great they are, that's all I ever hear from her. Every once in a while, this okay. wacko, right? But the love and care she has for these students and wanting them to be successful and what they will be and who will they become, that's what I hear from her. That's how she feels. She's dedicated, hardworking, which most teachers are. I'm sure like in every profession, there's
always
a bozo.
Of course.
But that's not who we're focusing on. We're focusing on these teachers who give it all every single day.
And I don't think people realize mental weight of teaching. And you know, I've heard people say this before, like spend a week subbing somewhere.
I can't. I did that a couple of times, by the way.
Oh, you did?
It was not good. But let me say something else.
I didn't know this.
Girl, it was bad. It was bad. But let me say something else.
Maybe she'll share it on a Patreon.
Maybe. But let me say something else. I have a hard time, and I don't know how these board members do it, but I have a very hard time hearing anything that Daniel Fogan-Holy or Tori Alston have to fucking say. You are not elected. You should really keep your motherfucking mouth shut. You're a seat filler, which is all I ever see you motherfuckers do. All DeSantis does is put you in to keep a seat warm.
Yep.
You're not a real fucking employee. You're not really an elected official. You don't really represent people because you are not elected by the people in your district. So keep the fucking seat warm because that's all you're fucking good for.
That's it.
You are so reprehensible and devoid of a personality, you would never win an election.
No.
So know that. Know that the only reason you're there is because there's an R next to your name and he knows that you'll be a shit stirrer, which is all you're good for. I've never seen them actually vote for something to move shit forward. Ever.
No.
You're obstructionists. And what you're obstructing is the good people of Broward County and the schools for their children and these teachers who work hard. Shame on you. You take a fucking dollar out of this woman's bank account, Ooh. It's going to be over. It's over. You understand? These motherfuckers are working so goddamn hard in unsafe environments.
It's
fuck off. I'm so fucking tired of teachers being under attack.
It's crazy.
And being blamed for everything. Remember that little tiny window of about a week before the pandemic started when teachers were the greatest fucking people on the earth?
Yeah, I was like, wow.
Fuck y'all.
This is kind of cool. And yeah, it didn't last long.
I can't believe I didn't think I'd have anything to say today. Dude.
Oh, gosh.
We wanted to talk about DeSantis signed a bill about workplace conditions and how employers don't have to give workers breaks or shade or water. It's fucking nuts. And you know, this bill really would affect the company that I work for and the work that we do. I can't imagine ever my bosses doing shit like this.
Oh, yeah.
Like it would never happen. And also like, shouldn't the OSHA be an occupational safety hazard?
Right.
Shouldn't they be involved in these? Because I would imagine an employee would make a complaint of like, my employer won't give us water.
Right.
Or doesn't provide water.
It's
wouldn't that be an OSHA complaint? I mean, this is nuts.
And we live in Florida.
Girl.
And so, yeah, you know, like today is a beautiful, it's a cool day. But, you know, workers who are going to be out there in, you know, our July, August, September, like that's like kind of the hottest time of the year.
Yeah.
You can't even, like, even in like sports, you know, like my kid plays soccer and they have to give water breaks before the halftime break, but it's based off of the temperature. That's how they do it. Like if the temperature doesn't get too high, then they don't have to do the water break because they're not like going to be dehydrated or whatever. Right. So like, wouldn't you think that like workers who are outside doing these jobs in heat that they would say, okay, yeah, at this certain amount of time, we need to regulate this and make sure that they're just stopping and having some water. So maybe they could continue to work. And I wonder too, like with like workman's comp, like are people going to be like dropping you know, over of heat exhaustion.
It happens. It happens all
and,
the time.
And damaging their body. Like people can go into like heat stroke and really comas.
Dangerous. It's really dangerous.
And comas. But
that's the thing. See, this
from
is,
the heat.
This is the thing I don't understand about this. Like I just mentioned my company. Like we've had people who've passed out from exhaustion and it's not from not having water break or whatever. It's just because of how hot it's hot. Outside. And I can't imagine companies don't want to deal with that. You'd have to take this employee to a clinic or a hospital. That's workers' comp money, and that doesn't look great on your insurance record when you've got people doing this. So I don't imagine that, like, companies are going to go out of their way and be like, well, I'm not by law have to do this, when it would affect your insurance rates, it would affect your employees, like the morale, like it doesn't make sense, except the people who were backing this was the Florida Chamber of Commerce,
which are like all these Republicans.
And also like, I'd imagine this is going to happen to immigrants that are don't have working visas
and they have
and
no
they're on
recourse.
These farms
and
they're out there working. Like that's who I imagine is going to really be suffering from this.
I'm looking at an article that is talking about the extreme heat and how it leads to weather related death. And these groups like wrote letters to DeSantis, you know, saying like, hey, pay attention. And it says here that in the United States, quote, in the United States, extreme heat was estimated to be the cause of about 120,000 workplace injuries every year. And without action, that number could rise to about 450,000 by the year 2050. And then it says in Florida, from 2019 to 2022, heat-related deaths rose a staggering 88%.
Wow.
Because, like, climate change.
Well,
I
was
going to
say, we
like,
don't say that, though. We don't know that word.
So... it's, you know, and these are people too that, you know, sometimes these jobs aren't paying a lot. So you have someone who ends up missing work because of heat related exhaustion or some injury. And then what do their families do?
Oh God.
You know, like it's
really scary.
Like everything is about the bottom line and this is the, you know, again, we're in this late stage capitalism, but everything, a corporation doesn't give a shit about you. They will bleed you till you are dry if it means more money in their pocket. And that's it. That's it. They don't care. That's all.
And also they'll wear you out. Like yes. You're talking about a family who does that. If they don't get they'll sue to get a settlement from an insurance company, but that drags on for years. And these are usually people who work like most Americans who live paycheck to paycheck. And to think about going into a lawsuit that you might not win, that a lawyer is going to charge you money, that'll come out of the settlement if you're able to get it, that could drag on for years. What are they doing in the meantime to make up for the income that they're missing because their person who their family member passed away?
The only other thing I have,
is
this Cornel West.
Oh,
who you know is running for
president?
I used
to love Cornel West. I have to tell you.
No, listen. He.
No,
yes,
but he's lost his fucking mind.
Yeah, and he just announced a running mate, and it's someone called Melina Abdullah. But the thing is, we cannot have a situation where we're pulling votes away from Biden.
Right.
And like these, the Jill Steins, the Cornel West, like the
Robert
the,
F. Kennedy
the Robert,
Jr.
Well, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., I feel like is deliberately there.
Oh,
to
no,
fuck
we know. That's
up.
What they literally, his campaign said that this week in a video.
Yeah. Like that's all they're there for. But these other people that like legitimately think that they can somehow win the Marianne, whatever her name
Faithful.
Is. like these people, like, listen, the world is going to end and your little ego, like you got to put it aside because you know, you're not going to win. And if you know, you're not going to win and you know that votes going to you are going to then allow Trump to get more votes, then you are to blame because you're not saving democracy. Nobody, you're not going to win. You are a long shot candidate. It's never going to happen. And why would you put all of democracy at risk for your fragile ego? Why? Why? Yeah. It's like, I'm sick of it. Like, I am not thrilled with a two-party system. But when we are in a situation like this, where our choice is Donald Trump or Biden, and yes, we are not pleased with all of the things with Biden. There's, you know what I mean? Like, there's things that he could do differently.
Yeah.
But we're still, you have to out, you know, you gotta look at the scales, right?
Yeah.
And there's no way that Biden is here and Trump is here. It's just not. So what are you doing? Why would you risk everything that our country stands for your little tiny baby ego? I don't know.
I absolutely agree.
It's ridiculous to me.
But also,
it's ridiculous to me. Like, get out of the way.
There's no way.
Get out of the way.
Yeah. And your message is not that important. I'm sorry. It's not as important as, like, we have a long way to go. And who's listening to that? Who's paying attention? It doesn't make any sense. And quite frankly, read the fucking room.
I know.
Girl, I saw so many candidates this week.
It's like election season is just.
Read the room.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, get right. Get right. Well, that Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Bobby.
Yeah.
Bobby. So one of his campaign people, there was at this campaign event and she was talking, and I don't know if she must have known she was being recorded, like a professional video, and whoever was recording that leaked it. I don't think they were supposed to. Maybe they hired this company. And she basically told the crowd, we're here to make sure Trump gets elected. And people who were Bobby Kennedy, Bobby, and Bobby, they keep talking about him, Bobby, and Bobby.
It's not
He's
Bobby.
Not relatable. Okay,
no.
He sounds like a fucking evil villain out of a Superman comic.
He's a nutshell. He's a nutshell.
His voice is fucked. Okay, there's something. I'm sorry, but this is politics, honey. If you're not coming to me all put together in a package that we can sell, you're not here. This is not just because your name's Kennedy does not mean shit. Don't mean shit. You look insane, and fuck that wife. All right.
Oh my
God. Thank God they limited her on fucking Curb Your Enthusiasm. Yeah,
they really did.
Yeah, good.
And even I can't
stand
even
her.
Look. So.
And I love Ted Danson. I hate that he's tied to this kook.
I know. So when I look at her, she reminds me.
Oh, her face is fucked.
Her face, she looks very close to someone that used to be a teacher to one of my sons. And every time, and she's a little MAGA herself. I mean, not a little. She's a lot MAGA. And so it's, again, this thing of, like, these weird looks of...
Well, they've got crazy. She's trying
conservative.
To. When she's on
she
camera,
has
she's
so
like this.
Much work done.
Her eyes are like this. She's trying to. I don't know if she can't blink because it's too much. Her face has been pulled back too much. But
yeah.
And I'm sorry. I talked about plastic surgery last week. Laura Trump. I did feel bad about it. I don't want to judge women's looks. I understand that we're in a fucked up society where women are expected to look a certain way, and so sometimes women go out of their way to fuck with them, go cut them their skin and pull it back or whatever the fuck they're doing, but they're doing it younger and younger.
Yeah.
I heard about women in their 20s getting Botox, and I'm like, what's happening?
Yeah.
But that being said, how are you anti-vaccine and your wife looks like Dr. Frankenstein just had a hold of her? I always said the same thing about Jenny McCarthy. How many kids were not vaccinated because Jenny McCarthy
was falsely
informed that her son had autism from vaccines, which was proven false, but yet she went on a fucking thing and she's got two chemical balls under her chest. And look at her face now. Her face is all fucked up. From how do you fucking square those two things? They don't make sense. If you're anti-medicine, Western medicine and vaccines that actually help people, miracle drugs that save people's lives, save children's lives, there's an outbreak of, what about that outbreak of fucking measles whatever, and Weston? Like, you're against that, but yet you'll go under a knife and do shit to your face?
It does,
Get the fuck out of here.
Bye.
But yeah, I'm glad. But anyway, that Bobby Kennedy, I still got to do that fucking story. I got to do the story about how he's responsible for an entire island of people dying from the measles because his message made it there. He went there and told all of them about this.
Please.
And then people started fucking dying.
Oh, you got to do it.
I
got to
do that story. He's out of his fucking mind. But he's the one that worries me. But since that video came out where his person was like, well, if we're here to pull, if we pull at least Trump's anti-vaccine is basically what the message was. So if we help Trump get elected, then that's it. And now a lot of people who were supporting Bobby Kennedy are like, oh, fuck that. Because well, they don't understand.
The fact
under-
that they
I
were so
they
stupid. Yeah. The fact that they were so stupid to even like listen to this guy and think that he was legitimate. Girl. Is beyond me.
Yeah, it's
the second
lost.
You start talking like wacko science that isn't real, like get out of here.
He came out with a fucking statement this week about all this stuff, and one of the things was January 6th and how he heard from a lot of really important people that January 6th rioters weren't armed. Sir, there's fucking video, you fucking numbskull piece of shit asshole.
He knows that there's
video. And then
video,
somebody
and
challenged
it.
On Twitter someone challenged it, and he goes, "Oh well, yeah, I've seen the weapons." They had fucking flagpoles. They were putting up. They built noose.
Yeah,
they were gonna hang
people. Guillotine,
or
not a guillotine.
I'd been like impressed if there was a guillotine. But like, what's wrong with you?
Like the rafters. With
But they're trying to. He's trying to appeal to get January 6th people to vote for him.
Yeah,
that's what he's doing. Well, he's playing to a weird base that's Trump's base, but he's trying to get some of those voters by denying the facts and the truth about a goddamn insurrection that happened on our soil.
But is he trying to get the January 6th, if they want Trump to win, or is he trying to pull non-January 6ers like and make them go, oh? Maybe there wasn't weapons. You know what I mean? Like,
All I know is he's an opportunist. You look at the Kennedy. Now, listen, we could
none
all
of the
we Ken- could,
none
we could
of the
go
Kennedys
all day
like
about the
anyway.
Kennedys and their history and whatever. We could do that. I mean, they weren't personally, they were morally fucking bankrupt men.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they stood and fought for real things that mattered, that affected our history forever in good ways. And he's just an opportunist who happens to have a father who, you know what I mean? Who's got this Kennedy name? That's it. Ugh. You're not really here to do the work.
His dad is rolling over in his grave.
Ugh.
That old saying, rolling over in his grave.
So as far as abortion goes, because we're going to talk about it every day until November, every week until November, we're going to bring up abortion. If you don't like it, then go listen to some other motherfucking podcast. Anyway, my favorite thing and what I feel like the Biden campaign is doing brilliantly, I mean, I could not get on Twitter last week without seeing the Biden HQ, which is Dark Brandon, or the White House share clips of Trump owning Roe.
Yep.
And
we
then the
did
next
this.
Thing
we
is
did this.
The
we
next
did
thing
this.
Is a commercial showing a woman who was pregnant and was so happy with her husband. They finally got pregnant and then was in Texas and there was a complication. And she almost died twice. She was in the ICU because of sepsis. Like the nightmare that this woman went through. And then Trump at the end going, I'm responsible for overturning Roe.
Yeah.
Biden campaign,
brilliant.
This is it. This is how
they
you're
have to
do
just
it.
Keep doing it.
Hammer it away. Let him own it. Because if he's owning overturning Roe, he's going to own every single death, every single instance a woman's close to death. Anytime a baby is found in a dumpster, you want to own Roe, you're owning that too. You're going to own the torment and the tragedy that's going to come from what you have done, sir.
It's insane.
I fucking hate him. Like, fucking hate him.
And the fact that you know this man has provided or helped provide abortions to people in his life.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
I'll say something else.
It's crazy. Like, this guy, we need to realize that this is not going to stop. We talked about this before, but they're going to go after our birth control. Pills?
That's the Supreme Court's going
that's
to
be
deciding
the next one.
That soon.
They're going after no-fault divorce. Like, it's all about keeping women contained and controlling them and having them being these forced birth machines. Like, that's it. Like, that's it. And I can't imagine anyone who has daughters and any other women that are listening to these men and not going, my God, I can't be a part of this.
But the most reprehensible part is like with someone like we mentioned this briefly in the last episode, but like for someone like a Mike Johnson, I believe that he really believes about abortion should be legal. Like he deeply in his faith.
Yeah.
Like he's
because he's been poisoned.
Now, is he mentally ill? Yes. Absolutely. He's mentally fucking ill. But like he believes so strongly. Like he's in a cult. His religion is a cult. Okay.
Yeah.
But the worst people, worse than that, are the people who really don't believe this, but go along with it to be elected and hold on to power.
Yeah.
Because they think that that's what their voters want to hear. they don't really believe in it because they'll get their girlfriend's abortion. Right. Da, 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 da. Trump's the same way. The people who hang on to these, Carrie Lake, we played that clip on the last show. They're the evil ones.
Right.
I can give a pass. I don't really, but I can give a pass to Mike Johnson because he's mentally ill with his religion.
Right.
I have my own personal fucking experience with these losers. But like the people who don't do it and they do it, that's so fucking evil.
Yeah, that's worse. It's because so they know that it's
evil.
Wrong. They know that it's wrong and they don't care that it's wrong.
But pay attention because a lot of these motherfuckers are about to start changing their tune. Because they know that now this is such an issue to the forefront, which is what you wanted.
Right.
You wanted Roe to be overturned. And now you're shocked that the American people don't support it when poll after year has told you they support abortion rights for women. And now you want to change your tune? I don't think so.
Nope. All right. Girl. Well, are you ready?
Yeah,
all right. So today.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you the story of former Virginia State Senator John Hall.
Okay.
So here's
Is it
another.
Funny?
It's an old timey. Okay. So former Senator John Hall had a promising political career, but things took a dark turn when he decided to take the law into his own hands. Mm. Here we go again. All right. So our story takes place in Virginia in 1862. Now, because this is like super, super, super old timey, I could barely find anything.
Well, 2 years later in Arizona, they passed an abortion law.
Yeah, so. From the same time period, I mean.
It is.
And what I did find as far as his background came primarily from like the bio stuff of his like wiki page. Mm-hmm. And so he was born in Ireland in 1805, in April of 1805. His dad moved the family from Ireland to the States that same year, and they settled first in Rockingham County, Virginia, and later on they moved to Mason County. And he gets involved in politics like sort of from a very young age. By the time he was 18, he was a deputy sheriff, and he ends up winning an election for sheriff in 1833 when he was 27. And then he served a single term in the Virginia State House in 1844. And then later in 1851, he was elected to the Virginia State Senate, where he served until 1855. So his wiki page notes that he worked as a farmer as well. And like maybe between like his time as a sheriff and then the House rep, he ends up becoming one of the richest men in Mason County. And he marries this woman, Olivia Hogg. And she came from like a plantation family. And so that probably added to his wealth as well.
Yeah.
Right? Because it was like, you know, disgusting times.
Yeah.
And
take my daughter and half our money.
Yeah. Well, and it was like, you made that money off the backs of slaves. Right.
Right.
And so he was a slave owner.
Oh.
And he was fighting for the Confederacy.
So far, great guy.
Yeah.
So far, loving it.
And after he served in the Senate, he still remained active in politics. And in 1861, he's elected to be a delegate for the Putnam County for the Wheeling Convention and the Constitutional Convention to form a new state.
Holy
so this
cow.
Is like right before like the Civil War. Okay. And tensions are rising between the North and the South. And Virginia voted to secede from the nation that same year in 1861. And that led to the creation of what was called the Confederate States of America. Right. And Virginia is a part of that. So a couple of years later, 43 counties voted to then secede from Virginia, right? And the Confederate States.
Wait, these are counties that are in Virginia.
Yes, which is how we have West Virginia, right?
Oh, my God.
So they secede from the Confederate States, and then the U.S. immediately makes those counties into West Virginia, which are now part of the Union.
So shady.
Right? And like, so, like...
That's some shady shit. Oh, you all want to leave?
Yeah.
Come over here. Well, hey.
Yeah, we'll take you in.
So
we'll
cute.
Take you in.
Yeah, we'll make you a stay. Come over here. You can be a stay. Sure,
yeah.
Baby.
Hi.
And then they're looking at Virginia, and they're like...
Yes.
We got
did it.
You.
We got away from you.
We got you, bitch. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. So the secession lasted until 1865. And then when the war ended, Virginia, of course, then becomes part of the United States again.
Yeah, we should let
all right.
Yo,
so
let them go is what I say. Let them go.
So Hall is sort of in the middle of all of this, right? Mm. And he's part of the Confederacy. He's fighting for the wrong side. And so this major incident kind of happens in the midst of this.
Oh, shit.
So according to an entry by Cody Brown and Zachary Kausert on this, like, it was like this online kind of history blog thing, Hall ends up fighting with this newspaper publisher named Louis Wetzel. Now, Brown and Kausert cite this old Ohio newspaper that commented on the dispute. Quote, both men seem to be aiming at the same end. They differed somewhat as to the mode of operations. And so Wetzel is basically for the union, right? And is writing articles about people involved and stuff. And Wetzel would use the paper, and it was called the Point Pleasant Register, to criticize the military, and Hall wants the newspaper to be suppressed. Surprise, surprise. It's like what Trump and all of them want to do today, right? Fake news and, you know, which is why we need the First Amendment. So Wetzel gets pissed off when he hears that Hall is trying to suppress the paper. And he writes this scathing article about Hall. And he titled the article Suppression.
Ooh.
And he's like throwing shade like right at this dude,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So the article sends Hall over the edge. Hall tracks Wetzel down in his home.
No.
And they get into this like huge shouting match. Wetzel starts to head into a back room in the house.
Oh, boy.
And Hall shoots Wetzel dead on the spot.
Holy fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. A newspaper at the time, the Wheeling Intelligencer, stated, quote, we most deeply regret this terrible affair, inasmuch as it has cost the Union cause in Western Virginia, so needy at the best the services of one patriotic man and the influence of another. Mr. Wetzel is dead. And Mr. Hall's remaining days will count for nothing. Bitterness and feud will reign between the friends of each party, and their efforts in the great cause of the government will, we fear, now be subordinated to their personal feelings.
Wow.
So you have people on both camps that are like, you know, upset because now Hall, who is this like political figure, has like trashed his reputation through this murder. And then Wetzel, who is this like figure that people love, is gone. So
wow.
Another newspaper, the Gallipolis Journey, I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, commented on the death of Wetzel and stated, quote, he was kind, companionable, and generous as he was brave, than whom no one in this section of the country could be more sincerely mourned. It is a stinging outrage that such a man should be shot down like a dog.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
But also, like, it just seems weird that Hall would go to these great length.
Like he was just like mad.
Do you think it has to do with like what's happening at the time? Like everything's, yeah, you know what I mean?
And it's the tensions, and there's like tensions between, you know, West Virginia, Virginia, the Union, you know, like it's, they're in the height of all of this. And like the thing that I was thinking about, you know, because with Civil War, you know, we're not fighting some enemy. Like we're
right,
all in
fighting
it together.
A neighbor.
Right. And so like you're mingling about people who really have these like strong opinions about their side. But we're like in the middle of a fighting of war. Like, it's scary.
It's very scary.
Like
that
really,
movie Civil War.
Yes, it's scary.
They said, I saw a review and it said the most tense scene is the one you see in the trailer with Jesse Plemons, who I love. And he's wearing those red glasses. And they're like, we're Americans. And he was like, he's got like an AK-45. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
15. I don't know. I don't know guns.
Yeah.
But he's holding it and he was like, well, what kind of American? Like, you're literally moving through the world and you don't know what side people are on.
Yeah, it's scary.
It is scary, but also, bro, calm the fuck down.
Yeah, relax.
Like,
man.
Give an interview in a rival newspaper and say something.
So, the charges. Ooh. He's charged with manslaughter.
Okay.
And they say that he wasn't in the right frame of mind when he went to Wetzel's house.
Okay.
So, he's set free really after no time at all, even though he was convicted. So, like, he kind of gets convicted for this manslaughter, but, like, he doesn't really serve time, and he had to pay, like, all these fines. And that was it. Like, he doesn't go to jail for a long time.
What?
Yeah, like, it's just like, oh, he was kind of, like, you know, the anger made him do it, like, and because of his position, it was all of this stuff. So, the aftermath, his career, of course, is destroyed, but the thing that I found funny was that he ends up becoming, like, an elder in a Presbyterian church. Like, dude murdered somebody and it's like, oh, I know, I'll go like preach in a church somewhere.
Wow.
Yeah. So some point, this I told you, it's super sweet, short and sweet. So some points of interest, Hall had 10 kids And there's not much on any of them, but I thought this was interesting that two of his sons joined the military and they fought for the Confederacy and they both died and never gets over that loss. And out of all of those 10 kids, only one daughter outlived him. Like everyone else died. It's just at that time.
But also he never got over sons dying, but yeah, you're also part of creating that war.
Yeah.
With your Confederacy bullshit. Right. Like,
and you killed someone else's son.
Well, listen, he don't give a fuck about that. And apparently neither does the United States or the state of Virginia.
Yeah. So I could not find pictures of this guy. I couldn't find anything. So I found a really funny political cartoon of like Virginia and the secession.
Yeah.
So I have that in there. And then I have something else. I think it might be the grave of like Wetzel.
Mm.
Yeah. But anyway, that's the story of the murder of Louis Wetzel by Senator John Hall.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
So good.
Like that you just walk up to someone's house and just shoot them in the back. And they said, like, I read some other articles at the time, like he was running away from him, you know?
Right. His back was turned to him. Yeah. How could you?
Like, just let it go.
No, this isn't right.
You know? And it's like, I feel like if someone's running away and you shoot them in the back, like you're in your right mind.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, totally. Totally.
You're in your right mind.
Yeah.
That's America.
So when I was at the record store a couple weeks ago, I was like, where's the Beyonce album, the vinyl?
Oh.
Because I was going to buy it. And they said, this is so weird. Is apparently they didn't understand, like, new albums now, usually when the album comes out on a Friday, it won't come out on vinyl for like 4 weeks. Takes time. And a lot of it was, there aren't a lot of vinyl pressing, you know, factories. So they're doing a lot. But apparently the Beyonce one was pressed. Okay, she was apparently editing and changing these songs and the titles and all this stuff.
Up to the end.
Up to what, right before, like days before it was put out on Spotify.
Which
digitally.
You can, right? Because everything's digital now.
And so the album, though, was pressed. It's got a different title. There's songs that are on release that are not on the vinyl. Like, the cover is different.
Oh, like, this is exciting. This is something that you want to get.
Yeah, yeah, I want to get it. So Radioactive, when I went there, they're like, oh, we don't have it yet. And I was like, they're like, do you want us to order it for you? I'm like, I'll wait. Well, yesterday on their Instagram, they put up a picture, like the queen, and it was the fucking one.
So you're like, I got to go.
They open at 11 and I will be there. I should have gone on my way home, but I want that. I want that pressing of that album.
That's exciting.
Plus it's so good.
So good. Do you know, I was listening to something the other day that said that Paul McCartney made $68,000 in passive income based on her song in a
week.
I feel
like it should have been more.
No,
oh, in a week.
In a week.
Yeah.
And then Dolly Parton, I think, made like 1.something million.
Yeah.
I forget.
Dolly Parton is one
she
of
is amazing,
the
right?
smartest businesswomen on the fucking planet.
And she gives back, man.
You know what? Let's look that up real quick.
Back.
Let's look up what Dolly Parton, go ahead. You said talk about how she gives back.
She does so much stuff, like charitable work, and she stands up for all of the right things. Like, I love it. And she does these collaborations. Like, I mean, did you ever think
she's
back
incredible.
In the day that like this that we would still be talking about Dolly Parton?
Okay.
Because I think of her singing with like Kenny Rogers and like my
Dolly Parton,
dad would listen
when
to
when we
it, you
knew
know?
Dolly Parton, she was kind of she's a character.
Yes.
She was always like this fun, loving, like, hey, you know, kind of character.
And then,
but she's one of the smartest businesswomen ever. Oh yeah, actress.
I mean,
Okay. So here's the thing about Dolly Parton is, you know, Dolly Parton wrote the song Jolene and I Will Always Love You in the same hour.
Oh my God.
She's like this brilliant, brilliant songwriter, right? But the thing that Dolly Parton always did that was so smart was she owns her own publishing, and which means that if anybody ever wants to cover it or whatever, they have to ask her permission, and she also gets a piece of it.
Yeah.
So,
which is why she made $1 million in a week with Beyonce.
Yeah. So in the 70s, Elvis came to her. She was a huge Elvis fan and wanted to cover I Will Always Love You. Do you know the story?
No.
He wanted to cover I Will Always Love You, and she was like, oh my God. She was so excited. She's like, yeah. She told all her friends. The night before, Colonel Parker, who was his manager, called Dolly Parton and said, just so you know, Elvis will own the rights to the song. Like, he will take the publishing. We'll never record a song he doesn't own the publishing. And she was like,
no,
sorry.
Yeah,
can't
that's
do
my
it.
Song.
And he was like, oh, you, and she's like, I'm sorry to say. Like, she's like, it made me really sad, but it was a business decision.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, I, that's my song. I wrote it. I own it. Right. What happens years later in the 90s? Fucking Whitney Houston covers it. And for the Bodyguard soundtrack, beautiful. It was huge. She has made $20 million off of the publishing of that song from Whitney Houston's covering of it.
How wild. $20 million. How wild that, like, that song just sat.
Yeah. Yeah. So to cover Jolene or whatever, like to put money that out, you have to give her money.
Good.
Yeah. But she makes what? Money off of you.
Well, but guess what? It's her song.
Yeah. It's incredible. It's her song. She's one of the smartest fucking businesswomen ever.
Why can't I be Dolly Parton?
Yeah. And she does do a lot of charity work with the books and all that stuff. And she also stands up for the right things.
Yes.
She's in Tennessee and she fights for those drag queens there. Yes. Like, she's one of the best people on the planet.
Yeah.
And she's been married to the same man for like 50 or 60 years. Cute.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
She's adorable.
That's what, and that's another thing I heard her say in an interview when she was talking about the Elvis thing. She was like, you know, that's my work. That money that I'm going to make is for I need that money for my family. Yeah. Like, it's going to be given to
Elvis
my family.
Elvis has enough money.
You know? Oh, yeah, please.
Please. And I don't like Elvis anymore after that Priscilla movie.
Yeah. He's a dick.
Yeah. It's weird. He's a little weird.
He's weird.
Yeah.
I know. I get it. Now, but I think there's also this sort of, you know, I think these celebrities go a little nuts.
They go a little nuts.
And then we add in the drugs. And did you ever watch the Elvis movie that was made with, what's his name? The musical?
The main one, no.
The one that was out. Yeah. It's really good.
I'll watch it.
He was really in this Colonel Tom Parker was a major fucking lunatic and trapped him into this contract. It was not good. It was not good.
Yeah, that sucks.
It sucks. But.
What else was I going to? Oh, so I've been listening to this. I don't remember the name of the podcast, but. It was this podcast, like kind of looking at, it does all sort of like celebrity kind of famous stories. And it's not all just like, you know, murder and stuff, but it's, and she's talking about Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. Mm. And I don't know why I completely forgot like how long their kind of affair lasted. Like, because you always just hear about like the incident in the White House with the cigar, or you hear about the blue dress. And you like, I completely forgot that like she was like head over heels in love with him.
Oh yeah,
and calling the White House constantly, and you know, like it's just
what a manipulative piece of shit.
Oh my God,
what a manipulative asshole.
And he does manipulate her because he's like, you know, she's in the Oval Office, and then he sends her out to the Pentagon. So now she's out of the and he's like, no, I'm gonna get your job back. And every time she's like ready to give up on him, he makes a phone call. And they have like 50, 60 like phone sex conversations. And they had like hooked up like 10 more than 10 times.
I cannot stand
him. But the thing that I was like, what? So she, I guess, would give him like ties and stuff as gifts. And he would wear them at public events. And so she would go, oh, like that's him showing me.
Of course it is.
That he loves me, right? Of course.
He knows where he got that fucking tie.
Yeah. And then he gave her a hat pin. And he also gave her a book. It was Walt Whitman's Leaves of Grass, which is, I mean, phenomenal book of poetry. But that's like his gift to her. And it was the same gift he gave to Hillary as his first present ever to her.
What a fucking asshole. Like, he's trying to say I'm deep and I'm sensitive.
Yes.
When he's a fucking prick.
Yes.
What a dirty bastard.
But how upsetting for, I don't know, Hillary, I don't know how you're doing it. I'd be like, get the hell away from me.
I just saw them at
me.
The Japan. They just had a state dinner just and they walked in hand in hand at
what
that state
doing?
Dinner at the White House.
So, I mean, and it seemed like before Monica Lewinsky, according to this podcast, that he, you know, was gross and putting moves on women and really, you know, assaulting women, harassing them. And it would be like these sort of one and done things. But with Monica Lewinsky, it wasn't like they ended up like building that, this relationship.
I mean, I think it has a lot to
and
do with.
And I think because she was so like, oh my God. And he would be like, oh, but when I'm 70 and you're, you know, like it would never, you know, we got to put an end to it. Like it just doesn't, it's not going to work out kind of thing. Like,
but also don't you think he had to protect, now he's having an affair as president of the United States and he's got to keep this bitch calm.
Yeah. Oh, and she was not.
No. But
she was young.
Crazy.
She was
young. Of course. Oh, come on.
Oh, but I was like, what? How have we just not like did a deep dive into that story?
Yeah, we should.
It's so good.
Speaking of, I'm so glad you brought this up because there's a movie called Scoop
that
is on Netflix right now.
I've seen it. I haven't watched it yet.
When I first saw the trailer for this movie, I was like, what is this? And then I went and watched the interview that the movie is about. So Prince Andrew, who was involved with Epstein, getting women for him, allegedly, but there's photos and all kinds of shit. After Epstein had served time for, he had been found guilty of sex trafficking, and he served time. And when he got out, he had this dinner party at his house, and Prince Andrew was the guest of honor, celebrating this guy getting out of jail, after who was continuing to do those sorts of things. Anyway, he was caught. They caught Prince Andrew and Epstein walking through the park after he was released from jail, like having a conversation in Central Park. And so they show that in the beginning, the guy getting the photo of them together, and then how this interview came to play. So how they sat down for this like crazy interview with Prince Andrew. He agreed to sit down after Epstein died. So it's all leading up to that. Gillian Anderson plays the person, the journalist who sits down with him. But when I saw the trailer, I went and watched the actual interview, which you can watch it on YouTube. It is incredible because he's so nonchalant about Epstein and their friendship what's the big deal. And it wasn't a dinner party. It was just a couple of people. It was like eight people. And like, yeah, but you know what the party was about. Yeah. And you were the guest of honor. And I was in the park telling him I can't be his friend anymore. And it was like, what the fuck is going on?
No.
It's just so crazy. And so they show the whole interview. They act, you know, they do it word for word in the movie. It's really good. But my point is that when they were going through the questions they were going to ask him, they were reading all the articles about Prince Andrew and Epstein and the things that Epstein, all the evidence that was found in Epstein's house. And one of the things that was hanging up in Epstein's house in his living room when the FBI raided or whatever, FBI, was this huge portrait of Bill Clinton, like sitting on a wing back chair, painted in the blue Monica Lewinsky dress. That was a painting of Bill Clinton in a Monica Lewinsky dress, sitting in a chair.
That's weird.
It's fucking weird. When they show it, I'm like, what the fuck? But also, what is he celebrating in this painting that he had painted? He's celebrating a powerful older man who took advantage of this young girl, which is really all Epstein was about. Yeah. We're talking about 13, 14-year-old girls, 15-year-old girls. And Bill Clinton was also one of his friends who got on the planes and went to islands. That's all in the paperwork. Bill Clinton was a friend of Epstein. I'm not going to feed into the conspiracies of did he kill himself. I don't really give a fuck. I'm glad he's dead. I'm just saying Bill Clinton is a fucking asshole. He's an asshole. And that movie Scoop is good and you should watch it. And then you should go watch the real interview because it really goes to show you how far removed you can be as a royal like that. Like you don't even understand how fucking gross this is. Like, bro, come on.
It doesn't remind me because they're not accused of any wrongdoing. But, you know, the whole P. Diddy thing that's been like coming out. A couple of things with that were shocking is the guy that is alleging, you know, the sex trafficking and all the things that were happening there mentions a party where both Prince Harry and Prince William were in attendance where that stuff was going on. And now, like, it is a huge mansion and, like, who knows where they are when, you know, they maybe probably didn't see anything. But, like, just the fact that, you know, we have more royals involved with people who are disgusting. And then the other thing that was great was, like, the... Remember when J-Lo was arrested all those years ago?
Yeah, with the gun.
That's coming back up.
Yeah.
Because
she said that was some of the darkest time in her life was when she was in that relationship with him.
Yes.
Because he would ask you to hold this gun in case you get pulled over. And all those women are saying that. And J-Lo has said that before.
Yes. So he alleges, that this guy alleges that the person who was shot in the face or whatever, this other guy went down for it and it served time. And P. Diddy got off because all three of them were arrested. It was J-Lo, P. Diddy, and some other dude were arrested. The one guy ends up in jail. P. Diddy gets off. They let J-Lo go. But this guy now is coming out saying that Diddy said to him, I was the one that shot her, and that Jennifer Lopez passed him the gun.
Wow.
Yeah. But if she was holding the gun and he was like, give me the gun, and like that's, and I did read that several girlfriends were forced into like carrying weapons for him.
Yeah.
And I don't think she's going to get in trouble.
Which is also how most powerful men don't get in trouble. Yeah. They distance, like a Trump. It's like a mob. It's the mafia. Yeah. You never see me. You never talk to me, but you're going to talk to all these other people who can take the heat from me, but I'm the one running the show.
But I'm waiting to see what happens with this P. Diddy stuff because
he's disgusting.
He's disgusting.
It's disgusting how many girls were
trafficked.
Raped. Rape. Yeah. Well, good. Right, another well, another happy ending
yay.
To this podcast.
I mean, it's America. What do you want?
America.
America.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. If you want to see any photos or take a deeper dive into our stories, please go to our website, www.themuckpodcast.com. And be sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at The Muck Podcast and on our Twitter at Muck Podcast.
To support The Muck Podcast, please visit our Patreon page. We have three levels of support with exclusive content: Muckraker, Policy Wonk, or Bleeding Heart. We can't do this without you.